Jackson, W266DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Voters are heading to the polls to choose governors, legislators, and in Ohio to decide on whether to add abortion protections to the state constitution. University of Cincinnati poli sci professor David Niven.
This is going to say something to the nation about the degree to which voters wanted, accept, and want to see, you know, abortion limitations pursued.
It's been 1 month since Hamas militants invaded Israel, triggering a war. Once it's over, Prime Minister Netanyahu says Israel will have overall security responsibility in Gaza indefinitely. Middle East analyst Aaron David Miller.
It suggests to me that this conflict is going to go on not just for weeks, but for months.
A major flexible workspace company has filed for bankruptcy. CBS's Jared Hill.
WeWork was valued at $47 billion back in 2019 before business began to decline.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin Assembly lawmakers take up several bills today dealing with higher education. One would require existing higher education grant programs to give financial aid to disadvantaged students rather than students of color. Other bills would guarantee Wisconsin students who graduate in the top 10% of their class admission to most UW schools, and those who finish in the top 5% would be guaranteed admission to UW-Madison. Meanwhile, the state Senate takes up several proposed constitutional amendments today. They include barring government officials from closing houses of worship during emergencies and requiring a photo ID to vote. Passing amendments instead of bills is a way for Republicans to get around Governor Evers and the new liberal Supreme Court. Amendments still have to pass two sessions of the legislature and go to a statewide referendum. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Following longtime Brewers manager Craig Counsell's departure to manage the arch-rival Chicago Cubs, vandals targeted the sign at Craig Counsell Park in Whitefish Bay. A CBS 58 reporter visited the ball field this morning and discovered that the park, named after the hometown hero, had been defaced. Counsell will reportedly be earning about $8 million annually with the Cubs. The funeral for Big Bend Police Chief Donald Gaglione will be held Thursday at Elmbrook Church in Brookfield. Visitation will precede the funeral service, which is set to start at 1. The chief served at the top of the Big Bend department since January of 2014. A statement says the chief brought several new programs to the village over the years and was always involved in community events. His passing comes after discussions of changes at the Big Bend Police Department. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Craig Counsell says goodbye. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Craig Counsell made phone calls to his Brewers players last night, confirming the news he had accepted an offer to become the next manager of the Chicago Cubs. A 5-year deal with $40 million, making Counsell the highest paid manager in Major League Baseball. Brewers owner Mark Antanasio told reporters when Counsell called him about the decision to join the Cubs, his reply was, quote, "Are you messing with me?" College hoops. Wisconsin men's basketball. The Badgers win 105-76 against Arkansas State. That's the highest scoring game for the Badgers since Greg Gard took over. NBA. The Bucks beat the Nets 129-125 in Brooklyn. A busy night for Giannis. 36 points, 12 rebounds. Who said it was good having Chris Middleton back on the floor?
He's getting more comfortable, more comfortable. We're going to need him to be aggressive. We're going to need him to be Chris. And tonight was just an example of his greatness.
That's Giannis Antetokounmpo with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. 48 this afternoon under overcast skies, northeast winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy tonight, scattered thunderstorms likely, 42. Scattered rain showers likely, tomorrow, high of 49. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 41 degrees.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Personality. Here we go.
All right, welcome back to 1959. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, hey, Calvin, do you remember 1959? Oh, okay. I think you would. His parents probably don't remember 1959.
I know. I'm sure they don't.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, this past Sunday, you know, it turned out that Monday morning that Joe Biden is now trailing Donald Trump in five of six battleground states. Wisconsin is the only one that he is behind, and only by a few points. And the Democrats, some of them are now starting to become a little leery of what is transpiring and saying, oh, wait a minute.
Well, I noticed David Axelrod.
David Axelrod, I talked about it yesterday.
Yeah, came out and said, hey, this is the kind of the last minute for Biden to pull the plug and let someone else run. Well, I've been saying for a long time, I think that the Biden administration has done a great job and has a very defensible situation. But it might be that Joe Biden is the least able person to defend it because of, the sense of age, okay?
Right.
And that a younger, vigorous, next-generation politician could run with the Biden administration and the Biden team kind of performance, which actually has been very good. I mean, in spite of the fact that there has been inflation, everyone would have predicted that the next president, the president who was elected in 2020, would have a recession. But there hasn't been one. Everyone would have predicted that the job market would have softened and that unemployment would have gone up, but it didn't. It's become stronger. Everyone would have predicted that the stocks would have suffered. They didn't. Okay, the economy is doing in every measurable way. The economy is very strong and doing well. Yes, we had inflation, and inflation was in many respects attributable to the war in Ukraine, the things that affected commodity prices very dramatically in the short term. And if to the extent that it was affected by government expenditures, that fault and the fault of deficits can lay at the feet of both parties, right? The outgoing President Trump, the one who wants to run for office again, ran up the biggest deficits during his four-year term of any president ever. A third of the federal debt, total federal debt, a quarter of it was experienced by Donald Trump. Okay. So in spite of the fact that Republicans can rest on some fictitious laurel that they are better at running the economy than Democrats, the facts don't bear that out. The facts don't bear that out with Joe Biden. They don't bear that out with Bill Clinton. They don't bear that out with any of the historic presidents that we've had that have been Democrat. So I fear that David Axelrod is right. To the extent that there's a weakness right now, it's probably just a personal one.
Well, so there are people who right now are Democrats who are listening to us and who think that we shouldn't be having this dialogue and this conversation because it may lead people to believe that, you know, Joe Biden is weak and all of those kinds of things. But Sandy, these thoughts that are out there, they're real. There clearly are people who really think, Democrats who really think Joe Biden is not the person that should be running. It doesn't do us any good to ignore that, does it?
Facts are facts. Okay. And I'm not suggesting that Joe Biden isn't capable of being president. I'm just saying that the fact is that there's a public perception out there that seems to be damaging his capacity to be elected. Because I think David Axelrod is right that it's that perception that is what's causing the weakness vis-a-vis Donald Trump. Because Donald Trump is this big personality. He's almost the same in age, but he probably doesn't seem to be in terms of his conduct, although he's capable of. He's always been empty of knowledge, and so his gaffes are always attributed to, well, that's just Donald Trump. He doesn't do his homework. For some reason, that's okay for the people who support him. But, I think Axelrod might be right that a different candidate would be able to defend the Biden administration and to promote the interests of the Democratic platform for a better. Donald Trump doesn't have a platform. He doesn't have a proposed solution to any problem other than elect me, Donald Trump, and your problems will disappear.
Well, and people are willing, some, to accept that premise that just by electing him, he somehow is going to fix it all.
Well, you know, the people should understand that the economy that Donald Trump inherited from Barack Obama was
humming.
Was humming.
Yeah.
Barack Obama, during his 8 years, it was Phoenix rising from the ashes. The economy he inherited from his predecessor, George Bush, was in the toilet. And for 8 years, they massaged that economy, gave to Donald Trump a humming economy, one that was on a rapid growth. In fact, nobody has had experienced the same kind of growth as Barack Obama did during his period of time. The fundamental issue there was it was coming from a deep hole and climbing out of it. But Barack Obama's economic management of this country ended up being marvelous. And the economy that Donald Trump inherited was fantastic, more fantastic than the economy that he handed off to Joe Biden, because Joe Biden received the economy, which was faltering as the result of the pandemic.
Let's go to Julie from Franklin. Good morning to you, Julie. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
I just have a question for you guys both. Do you guys both support Biden? Is he who you want to run for your party?
He's the president of the United States right now. You know, if there's a way that Joe Biden could, you know, someone else is going to be able to step in. Early on, I've been a person who said his policies have been great. I just think a guy who's, you know, at this juncture in his life, it's a lot to ask of that guy to a person to be the most powerful man in the world.
So let me put it this way. The question for who you support always comes down to what's the alternative. And if it comes down to Joe Biden versus Donald Trump, there will be no question in my mind which is the right team to elect. It would be the Biden team and not the Trump team. But in terms of who should head that team going into the election. You know, my preference would be that Joe Biden give an opportunity to the next round of leadership to secure leadership of what is the Biden team, the Democratic platform. But so that's my answer, I guess.
So, Julie, so what about you? I mean, same question to you with Donald Trump being the guy who is clearly going to win the nomination. Are you satisfied with the fact that Donald Trump is going to be the nominee for the Republican Party?
No, absolutely not. And I don't think you guys are satisfied that Biden would be. And I think Sandy answered exactly how I answer about Trump. My answer is exactly the same as Sandy's. What's the other option? So
it's either going to be, I would be dumbfounded if somehow, Joe Biden is not the guy. I don't see any way possible that Joe Biden is going to somehow step down. I don't think that there'll be enough pressure applied to him for him to step down. He wants to run. He wants to be that guy. And I don't see how, anybody can stop him. And that's the same for Donald Trump. He's going to be that guy. And the two of them are going to, they're going to run against one another again. Well, somebody's got to win.
Well, I think we always have surprises in politics. And so I think what I would say is I'm not predicting what surprise we're going to experience, but I'm confident there will be surprises between now and then, which could change the game and could change the table in terms of who were being asked to vote for.
Let me ask you, Sandy, has that ever occurred historically this late in a presidential
election? Yeah, sure. Yeah, Jeb Bush was, everyone thought he was going to be the nominee at this point in 2016. Before any campaigns,
but they had debates and they had all of those people who were on the stage.
It does happen. What's the nature of the surprise? You never see the truck before it hits you. So I don't know what it's going to be, but I predict that there will be some surprises that could change the table.
Julie,
well, don't you think it's interesting, or I don't know what the right word is, but I mean, wouldn't the obvious choice for the Democratic Party is to say Kamala Harris is going to run? And it's kind of telling that isn't even brought up, because the Democratic Party don't want Kamala Harris running for president.
Thank you very much for the call, Julie. I don't know. Are we
in a break?
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe. and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Shaw, WAUK.
I love you is
all right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams. Let's go to Fred from Cottage Grove. Good morning to you, Fred. Thank you very much for calling. You say what?
Good morning, gentlemen. Has anybody ever mentioned having Biden step aside and be vice president rather than running for president?
Well,
get a viable candidate and have him be the vice president.
Well, I suspect that that would put an old guy into the second seat. But it has been suggested. Obviously, Axelrod was suggesting it, essentially, that he step aside and let there be an open competition for president. I think if there was an open competition, then you'd end up with a new vice president as well. So it's an interesting idea, though, Fred.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
All right, Fred, thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for the call. So Sandy, here we are again. There's a new House Speaker. And people were really celebrating, and they were saying, "Hey, man, it's really great that we didn't wind up with what is the guy's name?
I don't know, Kevin McCarthy.
No,
with,
the other guy,
Jim Jordan.
Jim Jordan. Hey, man, we didn't. We almost had Jim Jordan. And
yeah, we almost had the devil we knew rather than the devil we didn't know.
And now this Johnson character,
yeah,
is." You know, he's a facsimile of...
Well, he's different.
Jim Jordan.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but he's got the same message. And so he's not as abrasive outwardly.
Well, he's a Freedom Caucus guy, and so, the hard right part. And so he's talking about, I think you mentioned off the air, he's talking about cutting entitlements, right? Which,
yes.
Which always comes around to Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. And those things probably undoubtedly need to be looked at, but the notion of cutting them, the talk of cutting them, is pretty, fearful because, for most people who receive it, it's a very vital thing for, you know, elderly people can't get health insurance because no one wants to insure us because we're most certainly going to be getting lots of medical care,
bad investment.
And so, you know, that was something the government recognized in the 60s, and that's why they came up with Medicare. With respect to Social Security, for many, many people, it's the only source of retirement. And the idea of cutting Social Security at a time when median income in this country is well above what Social Security receives, and then cutting it. Now, I can see making adjustments based on wealth so that if high income people might receive less Social Security or get taxed very highly on the Social Security they receive, then it could all start making sense. But again, we've got the conservatives talking about cutting things because we can't afford them, but they aren't talking about raising taxes. And, you know, 5 years ago, they were adamant about cutting taxes, which led to massive deficits, as I said, during the Trump administration, largely as a result of those, or at least significantly as a result of the tax cut, he ran huge deficits.
You know, Sandy, it is amazing to me that I don't care who you are, Democrat or Republican, and there are as many people who need Social Security as Republicans as there are Democrats. It's safe to say that, right?
There's many people
who are Republican, who are Democrats who need Medicare as there are Republicans who need Medicare. So when you hear people talking about addressing those issues. We can't afford it anymore. The reason we can't afford it, Sandy, is all the tax cuts that...
Well, we can't afford it because of tax cuts, because of how much we spend on military. Yeah, you know, this is the dinner table conversation. It needs to talk about everything we spend money on and how much we earn. And we don't talk about those things. We end up waving our arms about deficits. We don't talk about why we're experiencing the deficits or the fact that these entitlements are measly in as compared to you know, the expenditures we make on defense, for instance.
You know, Sandy, the Republicans win somehow, and I don't know why they do, with getting average people to agree or at least support those kind of conversations they're having.
Well, the Republicans, for some reason, back in the 30s, successfully branded themselves as the party that knows how to run the economy, the party that is for fiscal soundness, okay? And they've continued to sell that brand without any reality backing it up. So if you look at how much of our deficit was experienced, our total national debt, how much of it was experienced under Republicans and Democrats, you'll find out that Republicans win that, okay? They win that because there was more experienced under them. If you look at how our economy has operated during the tenure of presidencies, Republicans and Democrats, you'll see that Democrats win that one as well. The economy has been stronger under Democratic presidencies than it has been under Republican presidencies. But that all of that doesn't matter. The public still believes that if we want to have sound fiscal management in this country, we need to put Republicans in charge.
So let's drill down on the fact that the Republicans have won that debate.
Well, they've won that perception, you know, and I think the Democrats need to do a better job of explaining why that isn't a correct perception and getting rid of this notion that if you're experiencing economic problems, you need to elect a Republican, because there's lots of people in our economy who are struggling. We've pointed out how the median families are all struggling, and they're all living paycheck to paycheck. They're all angry about their economic situation. It ain't going to be better by electing a Republican. In fact, the Democrats are looking at issues, and for instance, Joe Biden has just approved, I think it's $16 billion for daycare and funding daycare across the country. Funding daycare across the country will alleviate problems for Tom, Dick, and Mary median families who have children needing daycare, because it's very expensive to get private daycare.
And that benefits everybody.
Everybody.
Right?
Yeah. It benefits employers because it frees up people who would otherwise have to stay at home because they can't afford daycare for their children. They can now leave home and work.
So the people who say we can't afford that, they really don't know we can afford it. And we have to afford it, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's the kind of investment you need to make because it actually has a return. It actually is good for the economy, and it's good for the people in the economy.
All right, guys, hang on the phone lines. We'll be right back.
Can't you see I love you? I love you. I love you. Three words that are divine. And now, my dear, I'm waiting to hear the words that make you mine.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM.
Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is The Krebscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know.
Members of the United Auto Workers in Wisconsin will soon vote on new contracts with America's largest automakers. The union and the companies have reached tentative deals for the next 4.5 years. General Motors workers in Hudson and Stellantis workers in Milwaukee are already back on the job, even though the Milwaukee facility is slated to close. Ford workers in Menominee never walked out. Former President Donald Trump leads President Biden in a new poll from the New York Times and Siena College. That survey has Trump leading in key battleground states like Wisconsin, as well as Georgia, Nevada, Arizona, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. That's despite facing dozens of criminal charges in four different cases. The survey polled about 600 registered voters in each of the six states. The presidential election is 1 year away. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Wattles. Milwaukee Police Chief Jeffrey Norman is recovering after a collision in the city's northwest side where a dump truck rear-ended his SUV. He had just been leaving a news conference regarding reckless driving. Norman was taken to the hospital with injuries not life-threatening, along with another officer who was injured in the crash. Again, the incident occurred shortly after Chief Norman attended a news conference with the mayor regarding reckless driving crashes in the area. Following longtime Brewers manager Craig Counsell's departure to manage the arch-rival Chicago Cubs, vandals targeted the sign at Craig Counsell Park in Whitefish Bay. A CBS 58 reporter visited the ball field this morning and discovered that the park, named after the hometown hero, had been defaced. Counsell will reportedly be earning about $8 million annually with the Cubs. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Wattles, WAUK News.
Small businesses are the heartbeat of our community. They bring unique products, personal service, and a sense of belonging. Small Business Saturday is just around the corner, but why wait? Shop locally every day, because together we're stronger. This message brought to you by Mary Jane's Hemp Shop at 335 Main Street in Waukesha. Stop in or call 414-202-5290. That's 414-202-5290. Or log on to MaryJanesHempShop.com.
Craig Counsell says goodbye. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Craig Counsell made phone calls to his Brewers players last night, confirming the news he had accepted an offer to become the next manager of the Chicago Cubs. A 5-year deal with $40 million, making Counsell the highest paid manager in Major League Baseball. Brewers owner Mark Antanasio told reporters when Counsell called him about the decision to join the Cubs, his reply was, quote, "Are you messing with me?" College hoops. Wisconsin men's basketball. The Badgers win 105-76 against Arkansas State. That's the highest scoring game for the Badgers since Greg Gard took over. NBA. The Bucks beat the Nets 129-125 in Brooklyn. A busy night for Giannis. 36 points, 12 rebounds. Who said it was good having Chris Middleton back on the floor?
He's getting more comfortable, more comfortable. We're going to need him to be aggressive. We're going to need him to be Chris. And tonight was just an example of his greatness.
That's Giannis Antetokounmpo with sports. I'm Mike Clement.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
48 this afternoon, under overcast skies, northeast winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy tonight, scattered thunderstorms likely, 42. Scattered rain showers likely, tomorrow, high of 49. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 43 degrees.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On The Shaw, 540 a.m. and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Let's go back to the phone lines and Tom from L.A. Tom, quickly.
Hey, Sandy, I would just appreciate, again, language matters and words matter, that we not call Social Security and Medicare entitlements. I know that's what they've always been called, but they are earned benefits.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I was using Michael Johnson's words for them, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's part of the problem. The Democrats have always screwed up in terms of messaging. So, but it is earned benefits. And also, all we need to do is scrap the cap. The people that are in the wealthier tax area need to stop with this after 160,000 or whatever that they make, that they don't pay another nickel into Social Security or Medicare. That's absolutely ridiculous. And the thing is, we don't want to do means testing, because if we do means testing where, and let me ask you what you think about this, but means testing just makes it another government program. And when you have a government program, then all of a sudden people are going to come out and say, oh, government programs, that's just for the poorer people, or for the, it's a handout is what will essentially happen. And again, I'm asking your opinion, whereas if you start, excluding some of that, we're all in this together. This is the United States, in my opinion. And whether you're wealthy or whether you're not, you need to be paying the same percentage when it comes to Social Security or Medicare. I just want to get your feelings on that, because, like I said, I believe that it'll become another government program that the Republicans can just chip away at. And, we end up with problems like Medicare disadvantage and Medicare advantage type schemes, and privatization of these things rather than actual, great programs at FDR and Johnson.
Okay, Tom, we got you. Thank you very much for the call. Sandy, you want to respond?
Well, cosmetics, I think, probably do matter. And Tom might be right that treating it differently and making it and admitting the fact that it's a government program rather than, the fact is that the way it has worked, the benefits out of Social Security are constrained. There's a cap to it. And the people who would be earning lots of money would say, well, we'll end up contributing more into Social Security than we'll possibly withdraw from it because of the size of the tax, which was the reason why the tax was capped. So I think there are multiple ways of doing it. I realize that it could be called means testing, but you could tax the Social Security at 100% for people who earn income above a certain level, because of the fact that they had the advantage of having their taxes capped and their FICA taxes capped at income levels. There might be different ways to analyze it to come up with the outcome. But I do think that ultimately it's going to have to impact the people who have money, and whether the people who have money pay higher taxes into FICA or whether they don't receive Social Security. And I suspect paying higher taxes is going to be financially a better solution.
All right, let's go to Jack from Merrimack. Good morning to you, Jack. Thank you for the call. You say what?
Good morning, gentlemen. I was going to go back to the issue of Biden and Trump.
Go ahead.
And one of the problems that Biden has is that he has led a calm and reasonable approach to governing. And Trump is out there yelling and screaming, and frankly, if you look at his movements and some of the rallies he's at, and you compare them with some of the old films of Hitler's rallies, you can see the similarity. But to say that Trump doesn't have an agenda or any program if he gets elected. He's already told us what the program is going to be. It's going to be retribution and vengeance upon anybody that does not agree with him. And he said that up front. It amazes me that people are willing to, we're talking about so-called independents or right-leaning independents or really real Republicans. Not just those that blindly vote for anybody with an R. how can anyone with any kind of reasonable conscience vote for someone like that?
But Jack, you have friends who are those people you're talking about, right? Everybody does. So, I mean, it's just amazing, Sandy.
Well, Jack, you're absolutely right, though, that the horror is that what Donald Trump has announced, other than any public policies, is a policy of revenge and retribution and an announced policy of trying to take the presidency and make it as powerful a position as possible, a personally powerful position, so that he can exercise his personal powers to the max. And we saw that in his first 4 years, and now he's had more time to cultivate this concept of getting back at those who didn't support him.
All right,
this is a major problem. Thank you.
Thank you, Jack. Let's go to Eric from Tulsa. Good morning to you, Eric. You say what?
Good morning. Good morning, you too. Nice to hear from you. Thanks for taking my call. Real quick question on your first guest is I'd like to say, or a question or statement or a point, is that I'd like to hear anybody that talks about, you know, Hamas, because he attempted to focus, which was really strange. You heard him campaigning for Trump a little bit and saying that Jared did a great job in the Middle East, which made his whole thing laughable. But when anybody focuses on the six and Hamas and all that, which of course is horrific, whatever the truth is behind it, any kind of, you know, assault on people, attack, surprise attack is horrible in what they did. But in trying to focus so much on October 7th, it's also trying to also neglect the last 50 plus years of apartheid that Israel has been running against the Palestinian people. And I'd like to hear somebody, you know, push back a little bit when we hear everything about Hamas and the horrors of Hamas is, do you believe that Israel operates an apartheid regime? And challenge people on that question, because we're getting a one-sided, you know, argument here all the time. And secondly, real quick, is back to the Biden thing, is that any talk of replacing Biden projects weakness. I mean, anytime the Democrats are sitting there talking about the Republicans are drooling over this idea. And if there's no candidate standing up and sounding reasonable right now, then why discuss it? Because it's only projecting weakness. And what I heard from Julie is she said she was going to do just like Sandy in a sense. And what she basically said in the end is that it sounded as if she would vote for Trump if it came down to that. Because Sandy said clearly, if it came down to it, Biden's the candidate, I'm going to vote for Biden. And she said, I'm right with you on that idea that I'd like someone else, but, which is saying that she would vote for Trump, which kind of disqualifies people in the sense of having reasonable arguments at all, because they support what he represents in a sense. And my last thing is on the entitlements is Lee Atwater is speaking through Mike Johnson. This is Lee Atwater talk from the early 70s. This is where we can't talk about use the N-word anymore. We're talking about busing. Entitlements is absolutely in their playbook. It's just race talk. They're trying to gin up the white racism in this for this campaign because they want people to remember, hey, what we'll do is we'll hurt the black people. And it just gins it up. And that's the whole intent. When Earl said, you know, there are some average folks out there that actually support this. You just forgot the word white. Average white folks support this. This is what exactly they're focusing on. And I'd like to hang up and just let you two talk about it. Thank you very much.
Hey, Eric, thank you very much for the call. Sandy, you want to respond to anything Eric had to say?
Well, Eric had a lot of thoughtful things. He was listening carefully to the show. I appreciate that. We appreciate listeners who have an interest and express them. No, not really. I mean, I think he's probably right. The only point I make about this notion that talking about having someone other than Biden is an expression of weakness. Not really. I mean, I think my concern is that poll data in some respects is reality. Okay. And it's facts. And so polling data can ultimately be important. I mean, you don't want to avoid self-analysis for fear of finding weakness to the extent that you're also going to back yourself into a corner of defeat in a political sense. And so I do think it's fundamentally important to America and to democracy that Donald Trump not be president, okay? And I think that whatever it takes to make sure that that doesn't happen needs to happen. And if that takes a self-evaluation by the Democrats to figure out whether they've got the candidate who's most likely to beat Donald Trump, then we ought to do that analysis.
You know, Sandy, Donald Trump, I kind of saw a little bit of him. He's in court and he's calling this, the judge is, this is a witch hunt. No, I wasn't there. I'm not going to answer that question. He's being Donald Trump in the court.
In the courtroom, yeah.
Yeah, and Sandy, under oath, right? I mean, he's under oath. But under oath for you and I shouldn't be different for under oath for Donald Trump.
Well, the problem is that Donald Trump is the ex-president of the United States and is this person with an overblown personality and overblown sense of himself. And he's going to test the parameters of the courtroom to the max. He's going to test the courage of the judge who sits before him to take the steps that would be necessary. The only way to control someone in court is to sanction them, okay? Either sanction them by saying, your conduct is, you're going to lose this trial as the result of your conduct, or to sanction them by saying, you're going to be held in contempt of court and you're going to be put into jail until you are no longer in contempt of court. But those kinds of things are heavy duty, okay?
Yeah, but Sandy, he's challenging that.
He's testing.
Right.
This is what he's done. He's tested the envelope wherever he's been, and so far the envelope has not contained him. He's been able to get away with it, you know? Unfortunately, it's allowed him and his narcissism to expand to the point where he really, I think, believes that he is untouchable.
Untouchable. I know, but Sandy, we if the one place that we want to see that happen is the judicial system. It's the one place where all those things shouldn't matter.
Well, the judicial in the courtroom is the place where everybody ought to be equal.
Right.
Everybody sitting in a defendant's chair, whether they're a nobody or a somebody, all should be treated the same. And that's the fundamental aspect of our form of justice.
So, but we're watching that not happen, Sandy.
Right. Well, we're watching, you know, he's fundamentally attacked the basic pillars of our system, the judiciary, the police, and he's tried to humiliate them and to discredit them. And, you know, quite frankly, he's had some success.
That judge has on the robe for a reason, Sandy.
Well, the judge is this is a trial to the judge, okay, not to a jury.
Okay.
Okay. So the judge that he's calling names to and whatever is the one who's going to ultimately make the decision in this case. So we'll see how successful his strategy is. But my belief is that the outcome here is pretty conclusive.
So the judge, and maybe you talked about the outcome. Maybe he already realizes, hey, I'm getting ready to lose all of my businesses.
Yeah.
And if he loses his businesses, Sandy, he's kind of lost.
Well, my suspicion is that Donald Trump is of a belief that he's going to lose this trial and it's all about appeals. And Donald Trump has successfully run the litigation process for in the tune of like 5,000 lawsuits in his life. And he understands that time is money, and he'll appeal the decision to the extent that it's costing him a lot of money, and he won't have to lose the money until the appeals are done. And he's probably done an actuarial life expectancy test on himself and realizes that he can play this out till the end.
Well, you know, Sandy, it's really a heart-wrenching reality when all the rest of us in this nation, you know, when we come before the judge.
Yeah.
We've got to respect that. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
To the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. I just think that it is absolutely unacceptable that all the rest of us, if we wind up, you know, going to court and you know, Lady Justice is supposed to be blind. But the fact that Lady Justice is adjusting herself to one man because for whatever reason the system itself is afraid of that one man is just unconscionable. And the fact that that man could possibly lose, not in the case that he's presently being tried in or on, but that he could lose in the criminal cases and still somehow, you know, wind up as a nominee for the president of the United States. You know what I mean, Calvin? I mean, how do you settle that with the American people?
Earl, it's tough. We have a seemingly disconnecting realities. There seems to be this conviction that the country's doing terrible and it's Biden's fault. And I think that's, I don't know how much these people actually like Trump. They've convinced themselves that where we are now is worse somehow, though.
Well, you know, man, so the if you go to court, And you have, you know, you have an attorney, and so the court doesn't say, oh, this guy has a lot of money, so there's a separate way that we're going to judge him, Sandy. The justice is supposed to be blind. Right. What is that woman's name? The balances, the scales of balance. She's got on this mask over her eyes.
Right.
Lady Justice is.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the whole principle of a democracy is that ultimately we're all
equal,
and with respect to our rights and with respect to the law, we all stand equal before the law, and so. You know, the notion, but Trump just has flaunted all of the norms. Okay, his life seems to be a quest to attack norms and to live outside of norms, and unfortunately, the norm that is this everyone is equal before justice is a fundamental one, and one which should not be allowed to be transcended.
Well, that's what is so frustrating to me is we don't see that when it comes to him. Everybody else has to toe the line.
Yeah.
But so what are the people afraid of with him, Sandy?
Well, I think one of the...
I mean, the justice system itself. What?
One of the norms we have in society here in the United States, at least, is non-confrontation. And so we are not a confrontational society, and people who are confrontational tend to be able to run roughshod over everyone else because people don't... It's just not in the nature, okay? And even in a courtroom where a judge is required to be in control of his court, has trouble dealing with the most obstreperous, the most difficult, the most the people who act out in the manner that Donald Trump acts out. Now, you know, I'm sure that the current judge is essentially laughing up his sleeve because he's the decider, right? So he ultimately will make the decision. Well, no matter what Trump does in court, no matter all the remonstrations, and you know, ultimately the decision is going to be handed down by this judge. And so I suspect that gives him more patience.
I guess I shouldn't. Maybe I'm looking at this thing through the wrong lens. But a guy who doesn't have the notoriety as Donald Trump nor the money, if they act out in court, hey, you're held in contempt of court. Hey, the guy is acting a fool. Take him out of here.
Right.
Something.
Yeah.
Donald Trump is doing all of those things. I'm waiting for somebody to say, hey, take him out of here. You know, why should that not be, you know, the same for him? And I guess you just stated the judge knows in the end. He's got the power.
He's got the power.
And Trump must know it as well.
Well, and actually, the Trump's... behavior has now come up at a time when Trump is actually on the witness stand. He is the witness. So you can't kick the witness out,
right.
particularly in this particular circumstance where he's being charged by the state. So you kick him out and the state can't make its case.
Can you imagine being, and you're an attorney, can you imagine an attorney representing him? I see them.
Well, they don't last very long. And interestingly, most of them quit. Many of them quit because they aren't getting paid, which is apparently a trail that Donald Trump has left for decades.
So people accept Donald Trump, maybe representing Donald Trump for fame, certainly not for fortune. They figure later on I can write a book. Later on I'm going to do something. I'm going to.
Yeah, a lot of good it did Rudy Giuliani.
Yeah. Rudy who?
Yeah,
I know. So Sandy, all of these things, you know, there's no answer for them. Time is just going to have to, you know, kind of run its course on most of these things, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the people talk about whether these judicial proceedings will end up disqualifying Trump from the presidency, and it turns out, you know, now that we have this kind of a miscreant running for office, we've had to go to look at the Constitution and realize that being a convicted felon doesn't disqualify you from running for president.
Yeah, it does.
However, if you have been part of an insurrection, maybe it does.
It also, being a felon, can prevent you from getting a job in our society.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Got to go. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Sandy. Thank you, Calvin. We'll be back on tomorrow. Been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you later.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Your hometown radio refreshed. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
You are listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.